All right, friends, the title of the message is this: Are we using the keys of the kingdom of Jesus? Are we using the keys of the kingdom of Jesus? Now, friends, when I studied the book of Acts, I get so fascinated by this character called Peter. Peter is the businessman that Jesus called. Peter is the impulsive businessman that pulled up the sword and cut that guy's ear off. Peter is the guy that Jesus rebuked and said, "Get behind me, Satan, you're a stumbling block." After Jesus said to him, "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom." Peter is the guy, the businessman, that denied Jesus. He was the guy that's fire. Oops, I should have aimed. He was the guy that done everything. Now. He was the one always shooting his head up and getting himself into trouble. But this guy, Peter, done so much for God. He is the gentleman under the leading and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, where he walked with the Holy Spirit and had a relationship with Jesus. He was the gentleman that stood up and preached, and about 3,000 people got saved. Just imagine the amount of godliness coming into a city through about 3,000 people being saved. I guarantee you there were businessmen that were corrupt that got saved and started to change their ways. I guarantee you there were businessmen there as well that were doing wrong things in the private that got saved and their life was being changed. I guarantee you there were fathers that were abusing the children, abusing their wife, and their whole life got changed through Peter's preaching of the message of Jesus. See, Peter was using the keys of the kingdom. Imagine the amount of godliness that can flow through into our city. Now, the Bible also says with Peter that his shadow healed the sick. I don't know. It's like, there's my shadow. Imagine my shadow healing the sick. Obviously, the people came in faith, believing that if they come into contact with Peter's shadow, they would be healed. The Bible also says that Peter's shadow, this blows my brain away, that Peter's shadow chased away evil spirits. How's that? Imagine you walk in somewhere and the presence of God dwelling so much on your life that the person that's stuck in racism, bondage, anger, hatred, watching the wrong movies, if you know what I mean, they stand next to you and something starts fleeing off their body. Friends, we have a lot of stuff in our city that's not good. Imagine that. You walking around in your place of work carrying something of this presence of God upon your life, something of this power, something of this authority to bring a change and a transformation in the city and the nations by your faith in God and walking with the Holy Spirit. Impulsive Peter, the businessman, pulling up the sword, losing his temper, causing trouble, chopping someone's ear off. God says, I can work with that. Making mistakes the whole time. Friends, when we make a mistake, doesn't mean we're disqualified. We just get up and we carry on. You see, friends, Peter had something in his life that we can have in our life. It's not just for Peter. In actual fact, Jesus said, "If you believe in me, you'll do greater works in me." Jesus' heart for his people, for us, is this: to take Brett and empower Brett to do greater things than Jesus and to release him to go further than him. In everything we're doing in life, I'm sure you pray this over your children. Would they walk on your shoulders, on your floor? Would they go further? That's Jesus' heart for us. You see, Jesus wants to mature us into walking into the fullness of God, that we walk like him and think like him and believe like him. Peter walked like Jesus. He wasn't perfect. I'm not perfect, you're not perfect. But Peter had something. Of the many other things he had the keys of the kingdom. So turn with me in Matthew 16, 13. I'm reading from the old NIV version. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you? What about you, New Day? What about you sitting in your chair? What about you?" He asked them, Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, Jesus, Simon. His head's up. He's like that little donkey from Shrek. Pick me, pick me, pick me. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He gets 100% for this answer. He passes. Ding! Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by my Father. Friends, that word blessed means this. Well off. Fortunate. You're doing good for yourself. The world says this. You're well off when you have a big home and a big car and a big paycheck. Well off. You hear some parents talk about their children like it. He's doing well for himself. He's got a home, car, and a big paycheck. Well off. But Jesus doesn't say that's well off. He says this is well off. Ah, to the businessman, Peter. You are blessed because you know who I am. You see, there's nothing wrong with a big home, the big car, and the money. There's nothing wrong with that. Enjoy that. But that doesn't determine our blessing because that can't get me into heaven. In actual fact, sometimes that stuff changes a person's identity. But Jesus says, we are blessed if we know who he is. That's what he's saying to Peter. You're blessed. Anyway, let's carry on reading. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Just jump over to Matthew 18:15. These two portions of scriptures are two little twins. We need to read them together. Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. Friends, this is in the context of the church believers. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If you chat to him, you've won him over. Verse 16. But if you'll not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to them, to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or tax collector. Here we go. Emphasis here. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. There we just had an illustration of Mac and Annika, God giving a word and saying to both of them they must stay in agreement and pray the word through when there's opposition. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together, there I am with them. The I am, Jesus, is with them. I can take Nick right now and we can go in the back room there and we can have a jolly good time with Jesus and pray because he's there. I can take Nick to Syria and we can have a jolly good time and pray and Jesus will be there. I can go to Mug and Bean and find a believer that's a waiter and the two of us can pray together and have a jolly good time there, bringing change. Anyway, so what we're going to look at this morning is just three points. How do we get the keys? How do we bind and loose? And it's a touchy subject. And how do we use the keys? Simple, easy, uncomplicated. But just some background context to Matthew 16:13. Jesus is walking in an area called Caesarea Philippi. It's a beautiful, lush area. It's about 25 miles from the Sea of Galilee, north of Israel, at the bottom of Mount Hermon, the Jordan River. It's lush. It's beautiful. Trees are growing. There's some pagan gods, Greek pagan gods. There's some strange stuff. And Jesus was about 30, 33 years old. I'm 35. Jesus was younger than me. Jesus is walking. with the learners, the pupils, the disciplined ones, the followers of Jesus, the disciples. And he's having a one-on-one. Peter and the disciples are looking at Jesus, eyeballing him. Imagine being on a certain place, eyeballing God in the flesh. Jesus had eyes. He had hair, maybe some nose hairs, maybe some dust on his feet. This is real. Jesus was there chatting to the disciples. But he asked them, who do the people say I am? Oh, some say you're a prophet, Jeremiah, etc., etc. Now Jesus brings the question right to the door of their hearts. Okay, that's nice. But who do you say I am? Friends, this is the decision that we need to know and make under the leading of the Holy Spirit. We need to settle this thing. Who is Jesus? This is so important to getting the keys. So Peter again, the pick me guy, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter understands that Jesus is fully God and fully man. It's out of that revelation that Jesus says to Peter, you are blessed. You see, friends, once we know who Jesus is, we know who we are. If we don't know who Jesus is, we don't know who we are. We're insecure the whole time about absolutely everything. Imagine this to help us understand this. Imagine Monday, I'm going to go have a meeting with Donald Trump. We're going to chat about the economy. Tuesday, I'm seeing Mr. Putin from Russia. We're just going to chat about those two bomber planes that he flew over the world recently. And Wednesday, I'm going to go see Brad Pitt. We're going to chat about some health tips and how to look good. And Thursday, I'm seeing Ronaldo, that soccer player. We're just going to have a coffee. I would like to figure out how does he kick that ball. You know, and Friday, I forgot to tell you, I'm seeing Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's going to give me some tips on how to get my bigger bicep. And Saturday, oh, I forgot to tell you, I'm seeing Justin Bieber. He's just going to give me some tips. Some of you will run away from me, or some of you, oh, tell me more. Now, I guarantee you, I would start to think I'm a somebody. Because these people, in their spheres of influence, that have authority, and there's some sort of recognition, is spending time with me. I'll probably walk around like this. Whether you like it or not, my approach in life changes instantly. 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 Have you ever seen those people that do the name dropping? Oh, by the way, I spent time with this guy. By the way, I spent time with this guy. By the way, I spent time with this person. And you're like, what's wrong with you? He's trying to find identity in the people. Jesus says this, once you know who I am, you know who you are. Now, if you take all those people in their spheres of influence, they have authority. We know the one that's behind them, their maker, their creator, the sustainer, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler, the sustainer. We know their judge. We know. One day they're going to go and stand there. It's like this. You work in a big corporate company. Let's say now this. I work with Virgin Atlantic Airways. And I'm chatting to the staff, and they want to name drop to me the whole time that they connected with this general manager, and they connected with this one, and this one, and this one. And one day I say, you know what? I'm having a coffee with Richard Branson later on. Cheers. No, he knows somebody. Instant game changer. Friends, you've got that game changer if you know that Jesus is fully God and fully man. But also, some of us know he's fully God and fully man, and we're not using the keys of the kingdom. We're not using our authority that's been given to us to bring change and transformation in the city and the nations. You know, as you come down to Cape Town, you see Table Mountain. From the distance, it's small. The closer we get, the bigger it gets. The closer we get, the bigger it gets. When we get to Table Mountain, it's huge. Friends, we can get closer to Table Mountain. We can get closer to Jesus and grow in this revelation and understanding of who he is. His power, his authority, his love, his compassion. We walk with Jesus. We follow Jesus. And Peter says to Jesus, aha, you blessed? Now I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. What are these keys? Friends, there's so much debate around binding and loosing. The commentaries speak this way towards each other. Some people bind Satan from there and here and there and there. And they get all confused and we get all confused. And we're thinking binding and loosening is bringing in the Ghostbusters. It shouldn't be complicated. And we'll talk about how we start to bind and loose. But the keys are used to bind and loose. Look at verse 19, Matthew 16, verse 18. And I tell you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Friends, that word overcome means this. Nick, could you come stand quickly, please? Sorry, I don't want to embarrass you, but just come stand, yeah? The word overcome means this. Just push me gently, my back's sore. Push me gently. Yeah, yeah. So, again. Some more. But gently, I said, eh? Don't hurt me. More. Okay, he says, the enemy won't overcome you. You will do this. Excuse me, move. I'll stop corruption. I'll stop slander. I'll stop gossip. I'll stop swearing. I'll stop watching the Smurfs. I will stop doing... if you know what I mean. But come back here, Nick. No, no, no. Jesus said, evil won't overcome us. That's what he meant, overcome. Now, I know there's lots of binding and loosing. I'm not going to go into that detail. But what Jesus said to Peter was this. Nick, do you know that Jesus is fully God and fully man? Okay, so out of that revelation, he gets keys. Not literal keys, but spiritual authority and power to change things. He's given the keys. Now, many of us have taken the keys and we've just put them in our back pocket and we allow the enemy to do this to us. See, the keys... Thank you, Nick. You can go. You're very nice. Eh? Give me your keys. I'm touching your bum. I realized what I was doing was wrong. Sorry. Now I'm blushing instantly and sweating. I don't normally do that. All right, so the keys to bind and to loose. Friends, it just bind means this. Close the gate. Loose, open. Bind, close. Loose, open. It's like there's two children here. They are put in an authority position to bind and loose. Bind any works of the enemy coming. Through social media, through wrong people, through influences. I went to Carlos's house yesterday. It's his birthday today, but yesterday he had a little bit of a birthday party. And on his Netflix, I was trying to watch some CrossFit. And boom, put up a password. I'm like, what's this? Carlos, he comes in, he tells his boys, look the other way. I can watch. He's binding certain information from coming through to his children. I used to work with this wonderful gentleman here, Mac, over here. He was a general manager, and we decided to have a prayer meeting because we were believers working together. So, talking about binding and loosing out of the revelation that Jesus is fully God, fully man, and we would pray together. And we would just start to pray, and there's another character by the name of Berger, and we would pray, Lord, would you start to remove corruption with our client because there's underhand deals? And the next moment, like 1-2 weeks, this person got suspended, this person got fired, and we were just praying this, Lord, would you remove corruption? See, we were releasing the will of God. We were exercising our spiritual authority in the hidden to bring a change. Now, we were not saying, I bind corruption, I loosen. We weren't doing that. We were just standing in agreement as loving brothers, praying simple prayers, uncomplicated, releasing the blessing of God in that business. Then we started to pray for new business. We would stand in agreement, and we would pray for new business, and they would come. Then we started to get a bit clever. And we said, Lord, whatever's not of you, remove it. We would pray that. We weren't praying and asking God to remove demons. We were not doing that. But it happened. Three people, demons came out. Now, God didn't give us the script on what to do when that happens. All we knew is pray. And when that happened, we found some people in the church and we took that person to them. But the point is this. we started to exercise our authority by simple prayers, praying together and seeing people's lives changed and blessed. Simple prayers by binding and loosing. In the Old Testament, keys just signified importance. Now, they didn't have a car. Keys were used for gates. I'm going to open and I'm going to close. The person standing by the gate, opening and closing. We bind anything that's ungodly by just stopping it. I was working once and someone SMS'd me, "I'll pay you a certain amount of money to get me a job." No, I don't do that. I just bind it. There were guys that wanted to leave early to go home. No, I don't do that because I must work till this time. I binded the work of the enemy because that was going to affect my integrity. Let's take some stationery. No, I'm not doing that. You see, we stop anything of the enemy in our own life. And we release the will of God. We loosen the will of God. We said, whatever happens in heaven, let it happen on earth. Let's read it again, yeah? I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If we read Matthew, I'll turn there quickly. You don't have to turn there. The prayer that Jesus taught the disciples, Matthew 6, verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Binding and loosing is just simply this. Whatever happens in heaven must happen through us. Picture this. You've got a laptop and a cell phone. The two, your emails are on the laptop and on the cell phone. They synchronized. Are you with me? We need to be synchronized with heaven. What happens in heaven? Happens through us. How do we figure that out? By spending time in the Bible. Loosening the will of God into our life. Releasing it. And then walking around, sharing the good news of Jesus to people. Letting them come into the kingdom. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 16, "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom." He didn't say, "I'll give you the keys of the church." It's quite clear there. But we know he's talking about the church. You see, we are the church over here, and the way that we start to use the keys, this is the next point now, how we start to turn the key is by staying in agreement with each other. So let's say now this, God speaks to Donnie. Now I train with Donnie at CrossFit. Every time when we train at CrossFit, Donnie and Charmaine have got the keys of the kingdom, and they exercise an authority. How? They don't stand there with their Ghostbusters outfit and start binding and loosing and throwing the oil all over the place. They're not doing that. So let's hold hands. We don't have to hold hands, but let's hold hands, which is beautiful. It's a sign of community. And all they do is this. They pray blessings over the people. And I guarantee you, I've seen it with my own eyes. Standing there while they are praying, I go home, and the very thing that they prayed, I see it happening. Binding and loosening. Blessing. See, friends, tomorrow morning you go to your ministry of IT, plumbing, house mom, engineering. Why don't you find a little Christian friend there, a believer? Pray a Mikey and Bitsam. Find a friend, and you will find a friend. And pray with that believer and see God start to change things. You see, if me and my wife, now how do we use the keys? If I have an argument with my wife about the toothpaste, now we're going to come to church. We normally pray before. But I've got an issue in my heart. So I don't want to pray with her now because I'm not. She moaned me about the toothcut. But she doesn't moan at me about the toothcut. I'm just saying. Now, we were supposed to be praying for maybe somebody over here. But the two of us had an issue. So now we stopped praying together, just that morning. And we just stopped a blessing from coming on someone else. But you said, "But I'm not married, I'm a single person." Kraya, Mikey, and Bitsam. Stay in agreement. Matthew 18:15 is for the church. Matthew 18:15 is how we conduct ourselves with believers. And I guarantee you, I think 9 out of 10 times, every single one of you sitting here, in your place of work, there's another Christian. I guarantee you. Just find them. If not, pray and ask God that He'll save somebody at work, that that person will get saved. Now you've started to move a little bit forward and you're building a beachhead, you're building a camp, you're building a base where you can start to attack the enemy with your friend. It's no more boring. You start to exercise your authority and your power with that believer, bringing change in the place of work. Oh Lord, would you increase the profits of the company? Oh Lord God, would you bring in unity and love? Oh God, would you soften the heart so we can work together? Oh Lord God, would you remove racism? Oh Lord God, would this be a company that flourishes and is blessed and that people come and get jobs here? Oh Lord God, would government make decisions to bless this company? You got the keys. You see, it's the spiritual authority and power that God's given you to change things from government already over your sphere of influence. I told Carlos this once. He works for IBM. Started a prayer meeting. He started a prayer meeting at IBM. To date, the prayer meeting still happens. Who's there? The believers. Now, if him and the leader had an issue, that whole thing will crumble. There's another gentleman, his name is Mark. It's Rose's husband. I said, go start a prayer meeting at work. He started a prayer meeting. He had 25 people in the prayer meeting from another company. They didn't take work time. What is that? That's a bunch of believers praying together. Now, if they have issues, unforgiveness, conflict, they can't pray together. The work of God is stopped. The two can't stand in agreement and there. But you say, but John, I'm just by myself in my house, mom, and I just have a child. What age must your child be to start using the keys? There's no age restriction. My daughter is 2 years old. Me and her have lack of binding and loosing meetings. And it looks like this. Rebecca, pray with me. Okay, Daddy. Say after me. Okay, Daddy. Jesus. Thank you, fully God and fully man. We pray for all our friends to be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. God. God forbid me to strip her of her authority because I'm insecure. Yeah, but you know, I'm the man. God forbid me. Some of us are so insecure, we don't want to give away authority and power to people. Who would not want to empower their daughter or their children to go for the king and the kingdoms? Nobody thinks like that. My son. So in the morning, so all of us stand together. You do this already. Just extend your prayers now. We pray. Friends, why not take the newspaper, email newspaper, whatever, as a family. All right, let's send some heat-seeking ballistic missiles on the kingdom of darkness. Once I read News 24, and I was grumbling and complaining. I didn't pray. I was, yes, this is sick, man. All the stuff on this News 24 makes me nod. And this is crazy. And blah, blah. God said, why don't you pray? You know, it's a good idea. Friends, you can also pray by yourself. Nothing wrong with that. I would start to pray and see on the News 24 things change. Husband, wife. You two can stand in agreement and change the economy over that whole company. My daughter's teeth started going skew. Literally skew. I told Monica, let's do this Matthew 18, 19. Let's pray agreement. Every day we prayed for her. We watched her teeth go straight again. You can change things with your prayers. How do we use? Stay in agreement. I ask you, those of you that have your own business, have you accepted this authority under God to find somebody and start praying, not in work hours, but in private time? There's a gentleman, Mike. He's up there. I used to pray with Mike at Staff Need and this gentleman, Mac. And Mike was very courageous. I must be honest. He would go to our CEO at that time. It wasn't a Christian. And he'd ask him, hey, by the way, we're praying. Is there anything we can pray for you? I think this guy's a bit bold, eh? And the gentleman at that time, he said, yeah, I pray this. You come back, hey, no, the CEO wants to pray for this and that. Now, that guy wasn't a believer, but he understood that, hey, these guys are praying and something's happening. Friends, I want to encourage you. to start to use the keys. Some of you are doing it already. Stay in agreement with your friends, your believers. Believe that Jesus is fully God, fully man. Know this, it's out of that revelation. He's giving you the keys of the kingdom, spiritual authority and power to change things. There's no age restriction. It is not gender or position related, this authority. And stay in agreement and start to exercise authority praying together. If you've got no friend, pray a maiki and batsam. Find a friend here in this church. Stay in agreement. Stay in unity. Find a friend tomorrow morning at church, at work, and start praying with him. Short prayers, simple prayers, not weird prayers. Don't bring in that Ghostbusters outfit. Just simple. Blessings, love. Friends, can we stand, please?